And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds in one accord to draw closer to the King of Kings and glorify his name. First, Jesus told us to pray for laborers for the kingdom. Luke chapter 10, 2 states, he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. This means that we should all be asking God to bring more workers for his kingdom work. Next, fasting, humbling, and praying, the long-lost art in the Christian faith for getting results. By the way, this method is taught by Jesus, and it is Jesus-approved. Fasting doesn't mean 40 days, but for some of us, it may benefit if we just did it for 40 hours. And finally, here comes the boom. Ezra was concerned about being ashamed to ask the king for help when he already told the king that God would help them. His concern was much more valid than we realize. His problem was that he didn't want to be inconsistent with his faith and his actions.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Oh, no. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that phone call, Amazing Jennifer answers the phone, and your whole day is better. How do you like that? That's a good one.
I'll give you your $5 later.
Really? What can I? What, okay. Your whole day and night and week is better. Does that get me to 10 or is that? I'm just trying to get over there. Okay.
Okay, maybe 7.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is any topic is open for conversation. And the reason is because it's not professional radio. If you've listened already for 20 seconds, you already know that's a fact. Here's the bottom issue that I want to get to. This show is for you and for me. And for everybody that's listening, I'm not going to sit here and tell you this is just all about you. You know what? It's about me too. It's about all of us. And in that sense, it's about none of us. It's about the Lord becoming more important and prioritized in every part of our life. That's what the show is about. It's about getting closer one step at a time. It's about listening to others and understanding that God works in different ways in different people because he's fantastic and he's certainly willing to help you and strengthen you and guide you. It's about us strengthening and blessing one another to draw closer in to him. Now, maybe you have a prayer request, like Samson did when he called earlier. Maybe you have a praise report. Maybe you have something you want to share. Maybe you have a question like Troy did. Maybe you have something that you're just kind of curious about working through in your mind and heart. Or maybe you have a possible answer to Bible trivia. Well, what kind of Bible trivia, Dave? Like this kind. What was Jesus's one-word reply to Peter? When Peter said, tell me to come to you on the water. What was the one word reply that Jesus gave to Peter? If you think you know, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can email David at hemustincrease.org. That's David at hemustincrease.org, which we encourage you to check out because that is a place that you can give if you decide to. HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, HeMustIncrease Ministry. YouTube, HeMustIncrease Ministry. It is weird that I drink Calm Me Down tea before every one of these shows. That's all I got to say. I just brought in another two boxes. I got nothing to say about that. Somebody going to answer the trivia? Where? Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Brother Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. How are you, my good friend?
I'm better off now after all your prayers. I'm doing better and better.
Oh, good. That is great. And everybody's going to keep on praying for you. They're not going to stop. Because we
Amen.
Believe the Lord's going to do a continual, wonderful work in your heart, in your mind, and your body, okay?
Amen.
All right, my good friend. All right, here you go. Jesus had a one-word answer for our good friend Pete when Jesus was on the water. What was it?
Come.
That's it. Come. You know, back in the day, I mean, we would think of that as kind of like a dare, right? It's like, oh, yeah, if you really mean that, just tell me to come on over. It's like, okay, come. And it's like, boom. I mean, the Lord's not the one that goes, oh, no, stay safe in the boat. Don't try it. Are you kidding? The Lord's like, get out of the boat. Get on the water. See what happens.
Amen. 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 Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yep.
Lean not to your own understanding.
Yep. Yep. Amen. And that's faith. Putting that leg over that boat and coming out to Jesus, that's faith. But Jesus liked it.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I appreciate everything you guys do.
All right. And, well, we're praying for you. And you keep praying for us, too. We need your prayers.
Yeah. Amen. Amen, brother. Thank you so much for the reciprocating the prayer circle and in the circle into heaven. We pray for all these guys that are on the radio with you. Appreciate it.
You got it. In Jesus' name, bro.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Excellent. Excellent job, Brother. It's always good to hear from him. All right. Let's get this beginning part of this teach up. And I do want to share about it. We are in Ezra. I should be making a bigger deal, but we don't have any sound for it or anything. I just don't have anything, so I didn't make anything. I can't really go, dur, dur, dur. It's Ezra, because it just sounds kind of weird. Let me just point out this one thing. We are still, by the way, in chapter 8, and I just want to make sure that we get this portion. It's going to be kind of a fascinating portion. Remember, last week we talked about this, and this was the first time that Amazing Jen was doing the show from last week on Monday. And we were saying that Ezra was like, where are all the Levites? Where are all the people that are supposed to volunteer? Because people are supposed to volunteer. So this is the next thing that takes place. This is Ezra saying, I sent them to Edo, the leader of the Levites, asked him to send his relatives and said, send us ministers for the temple of God at Jerusalem. And since the gracious hand of our God was on us, they sent us a man named Sherebiah, who was along with 18 of his sons and his brothers. Here's what I want to point out. There are a lot of people that need help in the temple. Now, when we talk about the temple, we're not talking about just your local church, although that is a part of it, but we're talking about every authentic group or fellowship that believes. I'm telling you right now, no matter what, and I'm not just talking about kids' ministry, every church could use more people who are willing to minister. Not every church is able to pay everybody to have more people, and Jesus never said anything about that. You need, and I need, and I was really convicted by this because I don't think I do this very well. The idea is to pray for the church and the temples all around us to have ministers who will proclaim the gospel, who will disciple so that people reflect Jesus more and more, who will teach the word of God, help people to learn to pray, teach them about the importance of fellowship, breaking bread with them. We need to be praying that God fills the churches. Right now, I'm going to tell you a stat. You're just going to go, no way. If this stat is wrong, I blame the top 10 Christian universities in America. 300,000 plus churches in America. 85% are run by one person doing 95% of the work. Just listen to that. Just hear what I said. We don't use stats a lot on the show because I don't like them. But 85% of the churches have one person doing 95% of the ministry. That's horrible. That's just terrible. That's not even, well, Dave, you understand, we have a pastor, we have an associate pastor, you can't afford more. There are other people sitting on their blessed assurances throughout the churches that can help. Let's pray that God raises them up. They're probably right in our midst, but let's pray that God identifies them so there could be more laborers for the kingdom of God, right? That's a good thing. All right, we're going to take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Couple things I think we'll open up with. I've decided to open up with a story that I wasn't going to open up with because it's such an outrageous story, but it's not an outrageously super bad story. It's an outrageously super dumb story. There's a big difference. Bad is when I tell you, which I'll be telling you probably in the next segment, how the federal government is creating a database to track down hate speech as they define it.
That's bad.
We'll talk about that a little bit. This is dumb, but it's funny dumb. Dumb, ha-ha, funny, but not entirely. Get this. Now, I'm holding a picture in my hands. You can't see it. But there are four monkeys in this picture that I'm holding. And the headline reads this. Millions in taxpayer money used to study drunken monkeys. No, really, drunken monkeys. And you're thinking, no, you're making that up. Nope, federal government reportedly has spent $3.2 million so far in order to get monkeys drunk in order to study the effect of alcohol on the monkeys. I don't know. See, I don't know where you're even going to go. Where are you going to go with this?
I'm going nowhere, Dave.
I got nothing to say. There's no comment that anybody can make.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You know, I have so much more fun than most people, I confess. Okay, I confess. And then we're going to do our trivia question, and then I'm going to do the joke, and it's a good joke. I feel in my heart I'm going to get I think it's
but
a
you
fun
always
joke.
Say that.
Yes, I know. As my wife says, you are your most fierce critic and your biggest fan at the same time. Like, thank you, honey. Anyhow, you know what I'm saying? I will say that I am having one area that is contentious. And this area has – I'm praying. So in 12 weeks or so, I mean literally 12 weeks, I'm going to be entering into final project zone at school, all right? And I've already talked to the two professors who are in charge of these two different elements, and I've been praying about it, and the one professor, the direction I want to go in, the one professor is very doesn't like any of the ideas that I'm presenting, and so I'm trying to figure out what the best way to approach this is. And so I just decided I'm going to do whatever it is the Lord puts before me the best I can, but I need wisdom. So if you're going to pray for me this week at all, pray, Lord, help his dull mind just be able to tell what it is you desire. And you'll be hearing me ask you this prayer for the next 9 weeks. So you might as well start praying, because I'm just going to keep asking until I get an answer. Okay? All right. Thanks. Here is our trivia question for today, and this should be rather easy. I'm expecting very, very quick response, I guess, on this one. In which town was Jesus born? In which town was Jesus born? Remember, we mix it up. That's the way you keep it interesting. Which town was Jesus born? You can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. Remember, there is a reason, actually, that we do repetitive trivia, and that is those things that you hear that you know, you must know, in the sense that you need to know that you know that you know that you know that you know. It's not theological, but it's true. So work through it. In the meantime, we do have somebody calling in, but they're, I don't know, should I make them wait for my joke? That's so mean to make somebody wait for the joke. Nah, I can't do that. I'm not that mean of a guy. So I'll take the call first, and then I'll tell my joke. Okay? All right, let's go ahead and do the call. So this is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, hi, David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. I just want to say you're really lucky that I didn't make you listen to the joke first.
Oh. I like all your jokes.
that just proves that you and I, we need therapy. That's all that proves. It's like, man, that's not good. All right, so here we go. Not a difficult one, I know, but one that we have to always keep in mind. In which town was Jesus born?
Bethlehem.
That is correct, Amundo. And I got to confess, as opposed to remembering it in Scripture, I do remember it through the hymn, Oh, Little Town in Bethlehem. That's how I remember it. That's just how
yes,
I do
sir.
It. It works so good for me. It's like, I get that. I remember that. So, excellent job. How's Susie doing, by the way? How are things going?
Actually, I think she is doing a little bit better.
All right. Well, we'll just keep praying for her. Everybody will.
Thank you, because she really needs it. She gets down a lot, and I just, need her to be encouraged.
Yep, got it. Well, you're a blessing for her life. That's why the Lord put you there. So we're going to also pray the Lord strengthens and encourages you so you can be a blessing for her.
Thank you so much, and God bless.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I have in my hand what I promised to be funnier than last Friday's jokes, which is not difficult to do, by the way. All right. A man, this is not theological, so don't get upset. I always get emails from people getting all upset and uptight. Relax. A man, his wife, and his cranky mother-in-law went on vacation to the Holy Land. While they were there, the mother-in-law passed away. The undertaker told them, you can have her shipped home for $5,000. or you can have her buried here in the Holy Land for 150. The man thought about it for a while and told the undertaker he would just have to ship her home. The undertaker asked, why? Why would you spend $5,000 to ship your mother-in-law home when it would be wonderful to be buried here and spend only $150? The man said, a man died here about 2,000 years ago. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. I just can't take that chance. See. Come on! I just can't take that. Because then the mother-in-law would come.
Yes, yes, I get it. Okay. Not all mother-in-laws are bad.
I know. My mother-in-law's great. Fantastic. You know, but still funny. I don't care what anybody says. I just can't take that chance. All right, let's get to the next text before somebody shoots me off a really mean email. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. I do want to talk about this. And thereby that I have a canal, I gave orders for all of us to fast, to humble ourselves before our God, and we prayed that God would give us a safe journey. Let me just say this. There is a definitive lost element in the church, besides corporate prayer, which you've already talked about last week, and that is people and the concept of fasting. So I want to talk about that because fasting has this, I think it has, kind of an image attached to it that reminds me of the Monty Python movie where they go and they take the boards and they smash themselves in the face with the boards. They go, oh, 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 and they go, and then they smack themselves in the face. Fasting is not like that. Okay, Jesus fasted for 40 days, yes. Moses fasted for 40 days, yes. But that's not what the Lord is looking for everybody to do, and I think you should be called to a fast that goes of that length. The idea behind this is none of that. The idea behind this is to deprive the body and the fleshly elements so that we can just be that much more tuned in to the spiritual elements. If you're a person that physically cannot fast for medical reasons, then find something else to fast in, because to fast means to do without. Some of us could do with a healthy fast from the media. And instead of going on the websites and reading all the headlines like they're the most important thing in the universe, and they're not, you could do a nice media fast, something my daughter taught me years ago, where they take 3 days, disconnect completely, and they, you know, only for emergencies or whatever case may be, they disconnect from all those things. And instead of doing that, like as a family, they only play games, they only do this, they don't do any media connection whatsoever. I think the idea behind this is for us to be more in tune to a heightenedness of being aware of that fact that the Lord is present, and most of the time we're unaware because we're dull and not very sharp. I do not believe somebody should do a fast of great length unless the Lord is calling them to. And if the Lord's calling you to do something, you got to do it. But I think anybody can start with a meal, or anybody can start with two meals if you're able, or anybody can do a day. I remember when I first fasted, I fasted for 3 days, my first fast. That was hard, but it was very enlightening, very, you know, beneficial, I would say. Almost every time I've fasted, I've gotten something very specific from the Lord. The funniest fast is when I did the 5-day fast and cracked 3 hours early.
4 days and 21 hours. Just couldn't make it.
And but the Lord, I just was so gracious to me, so kind. And the only reason is because I was trying to do it to find him. And I think if you do something before the Lord and you're just genuinely trying to find him and draw closer to him, he sees that. It's not really the length of time. It's your attitude of heart. And that's why in Ezra's saying, he says, well, we're going to fast and we're going to humble ourselves. And the whole point was, we're going to do this yieldedness and we're going to fast for it so that we can remember we're being yielded. And Jesus taught us to fast, And John's disciples fasted, and the apostles fasted, and the church fasted, and everybody in the New Testament fasted. Our excuse is pretty much there's a fast food on every corner, and that makes it harder to fast. Okay, well, instead of turning right into the restaurant, you could go straight past it. The idea is to do it to heighten your spiritual awareness. And the word fast, by the way, means to do without, which is why it doesn't always have to be food. Some people, they drink 900 cups of coffee. I know a pastor, he even confessed on that, I drink so much coffee, it's not healthy for me, right? He should fast coffee. That's what he would even tell you that. Whatever it is, and I think food is a big one because it satisfies and kind of sedates us in a certain sense. We should do that. So as to heighten our spiritual antennas. And see, the Lord is constantly sending messages over a spiritual radio signal. We're just not constantly dialing in. And that's what we want to do better at. And you don't beat yourself up. And if you try it and you don't get as far as you want, don't beat yourself up. Do it so that it's your heart drawing closer to the heart and the mind of God. And he'll appreciate, I mean, it's not, he appreciates that in the sense that you're seeking him. And when you seek him, here's the most awesome thing. You'll find him. And every time you find God, your life changes. Just consider that. Set aside a day if you can. Devote it to the Lord. And when you get hungry, that's when you pray. See? That's all it is. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. But I want to get this specific scripture, and it's really important. It's Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. It says this, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it was said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Hey, it was not an impossibility. God gave him a promise when he was 75. It didn't get to fulfilled until he was 100. 25 years between promise and fulfillment, God made sure he was good and dead before the promise came about so that when Isaac was born, everybody knew, it's amazing. It's a miracle. Exactly. And it wasn't that Abraham didn't know he was old. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, 99 before the conception took place, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. It doesn't say that Abraham went through this and turned around and yelled at God and complained. He gave glory to God. He knew God could do this. And he believed that the promise that God had given him was important. And he held on to that, even though facing the fact, the circumstance was completely wiped out. Guess what? God showed up. I'm telling you right now, you can tell me all you want about circumstances and situations and your feelings and your processes, but I am telling you, when God shows up, according to Scripture and according to testimony, to the law and to the testimony, the Scripture says, to the prophets and to the testimony, here's what you got to be aware of. When God shows up, changes everything. And you're thinking, well, will that happen for Easton Scott? I hope so. But guess what? If my daughter spends her whole life believing, and Easton's whole life believing, that God can step in and this can change and that may yet happen, she's not done a bad thing. She's raised a child with this gracious hope. If God decides not to do that, instead of complaining about it, it's about giving glory to God, believing that he knows what is in our best interest, even when we don't understand. And yes, I get it. There are tough things. I went through a myriad of tough things, and I'm surprised. First of all, I'm surprised that I'm still alive. Second of all, I'm surprised that the Lord brought me through any of them. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it, but he did it anyway. to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, now we have a warning sound that we use when we have a sneaky trivia question. So let's play our warning sound. How many Christian radio shows do you think will do something? Come on. That was your warning. Here's the trivia question. Ready? True or false, Jesus said he was the good farmer. True or false? Jesus said he was the good farmer. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483, or you can email in david@hemustincrease.org. Speaking of which, we do want you to check out the website, so please go to hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so now I'm going to confess something. I think I told this about 2 years ago. So it's been a while. So some of you have heard it. Some of you have not heard it. But, you know, my wife and I, we just enjoy a really great relationship. And every once in a while, like when we were in California, we'd have to stay up really late, like 1:32 because of stuff that was going on. And so inevitably, we had to do this like throughout a whole week because of different ministry elements. And so about 2 o'clock in the morning, we'd be in bed. We'd get ready to go to bed. And we would turn the TV on because sometimes you got to wire down, right? And you know what show would come on is Green Acres. And my wife and I would be in bed and we would sing. So funny. Green Acres is the place where we just thought I'd share that with you because of the farmer question. I just, you know, two people, 2 a.m. singing. I imagine I'm assuming those scenes won't be there in heaven. But if there's a hall of funny, then they will be there. Okay, trivia question. Jesus said, true or false, I am the good farmer. If you think you know the answer, you can text in 214-210-8483. You can call in 972-445-0770. You know, I'm going to get in trouble for telling that story again. Green Acres is the place. It's fun when you're doing it by yourselves at 2 a.m. All right, let's do history real quick. Here we go. History.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
Okay, a couple things to tell you. Today is All or Nothing Day. I'm not sure what that means. I think it depends on what it is, all or nothing. It's Aunt and Uncle Day. So I am an uncle, and for all you aunts and uncles out there, just remember that in most cases, you can be a wonderful influence. It's National Bagel Fest Day. Ah!
Bagel Fest.
Bagel Fest. That's okay. When you have multiple. My cousins used to own the Detroit Bagel Factory. Mm-hmm. And so bagels were not just a part of our lives in the sense of a staple, but pretty much think of it as milk. That's how important bagels are in the Jewish household. Jewish household. Household. Okay. Moving on. Let's see. For those that are into video games, I would not recommend this, but for video games, the game Sonic the Hedgehog was released on this day in 1991, which I played before, and I don't like it. I don't like it because I couldn't win. Let's just be honest.
It's better when you win.
It is better when you win. This is why I like the Mario ones, you know, like the Mario World and all those other things. At least I could win on those. Sonic the Hedgehog, I was like, what am I supposed to do? And then the controllers became more complex, and then that was it. You know, it's like next you're just going to attach it to the brain. For those that want to know, we'll end with this. In 1955, in this day, Ted Allen did something that I have never heard anybody do ever in my life. He threw a record 72 consecutive horseshoe ringers.
Wow.
That is impressive.
Very impressive.
72?
Do you think he was listening to this song? Green Acres.
Yes!
Green Acres is the place to be. Farm living is the life for me.
sorry, folks. Okay. Back to the Christian stuff. That was pretty good there. Good play. He was listening to that. That's how he did it. You never know what you're going to get on this show. That's all I'm going to say. True or false, Jesus said, I'm the good farmer. I don't think we'll ever forget this segment as long as I live. Here's the next segment. Very important one. Very challenging, by the way. I do want to point this out. Here's Ezra talking, and he says this. We prayed that the Lord would give us a safe journey and protect our children and our goods as we traveled. I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to accompany us and to protect us from the enemy along the way. After all, we told the king, our God protects those who worship him. Here's the really, I think, amazing confession and reality check in the Christian faith and in those who are truly devoted and committed to the Lord. Ezra was a phenomenal person in the Bible. He studied the law. He taught the law. He knew the law. He communicated it. He helped people to understand it. He grew people up so that they would be a mature group of people devoted to the Lord. And even though he was as far along as he was, and I would venture to say probably farther along than any minister in America, he was concerned that what he said to the king would be compromised if he didn't stand firm in what he believed. In other words, our God will protect those who worship him. That was what he said to the king. So the king's like, okay, well, then you guys go and take your time and get this done. And then Ezra was like, I can't ask the king for protection because then on one hand I'm saying our God will protect us, and on the other hand I'm saying no, he won't. And it's like, no, 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 no. And you need to understand, I'll use that from Jim Daly. No, 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 no. Okay. Here's the bottom line. You can't have a faith that is active and real that you speak out of one side of your mouth and then have all your actions be in contradiction to that faith. You can't. Even if only one person, yourself, is aware of it, you've got to be aware of it. So when we pray about something, the idea that we would then pray about it and then go about doing whatever we can do to try and answer it for God is not really an expression of our faith. Or when we say, I believe that God will get me out of this circumstance, but then we complain that we're not out of the circumstance, but the expression of our faith and then the expression of our complaining kind of wipe each other out. And it's like, that's a bad plan. In other words, when Jesus was teaching people to have faith, he would say, don't have any doubt. It's always interesting that he says that because faith is erased by doubt, and our actions can erase the proclamations of our faith. And it's like, yeah, you don't want to do that. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with the genuine struggle of it, but you've got to be aware that there has to be a consistency between our faith and our actions and everything we do. There has to be something. I've mentioned this before, but for some reason it keeps coming in my mind, and I think this will apply to somebody in particular. But when God didn't move fast enough, even though Abraham believed God, he tried to help God along by having Sarah and him marry Hagar and them having Ishmael. All that did was indicate that Abraham was trying to help God accomplish God's promise. God doesn't need your help to accomplish his promise. He needs you to be in fellowship with him so you can do all that he set before you, or he wants you to be in fellowship. He doesn't really need anything. That's just a bad statement. But the idea behind that is that you can't have an inconsistency by what you believe and what you do. Your works cannot be works of fear and of doubt and a frustration and anger and disappointment. They have to be connected to what you actually believe. If there's not a connection there, then the faith is suspect. And even Ezra is like, I don't want to tell the king we want to have, you know, protection. I told the king that God would protect. That's going to take away from the glory of God and make it seem like the king is the answer to everything. And that's the problem. The problem is, as soon as we lean on somebody or some entity other than God to answer the problems, then they become God. And it's like, no, you got to believe, you got to trust. You think, well, how? What are you going to tell me that God can pull water out of a rock? Yes, that's exactly what I'm going to tell you. No other being in the universe can pull water out of a rock, but God can. So yes, exactly. Well, you're going to tell me that God's going to do some miraculous thing? Yes. You got Samson's praying for a car. We're praying with him. We're hoping for him. You can tell me God's going to bring him a car? Yes. Some capacity, something's going to happen. You think, nah, that's just ridiculous. Or it's faith. Which one? When it happens, you'll go, oh, that was amazing. When it doesn't, until it happens, you'll go, I don't believe it. It's like, come on. We got to have that consistency between our faith, our proclamation, what we're saying, what we're doing, and how we act. I think that's fair. I don't think that's weird. All right, trivia question. Jesus said, I am the good farmer. False. He said, I'm the good shepherd, not the good farmer. Oh, he is a good farmer, but that's not what he said. All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Then they complained to Moses, against Moses and Aaron, and they said, it had been better for us to die in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Their theory in that thought process is they're thinking, it'd be better for us if we just died in the wilderness or back in Egypt where we know where things were at, as opposed to going to a new land and being consumed by these big people. This is a terrible idea. There's some commentators that believe that their complaining really has to do with they thought it would be better to die over time in the wilderness or over time in Egypt versus going to the land and being immediately killed by these big people. And they were bumming. And look what they said. Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? How quick we forget what the bondage is once you're out. Oh, how quickly do you forget the bondages that God brought you through once you're away from it? Like, I don't remember being that bad.
The David Spoon Experience on 770 KAAM.
Oh,
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where we're having more fun on a Monday than you're supposed to be allowed to have in a lifetime. Ha! What do you think of that? I just made that up on the spot. Here we go. To whom did, this is our trivia question, by the way, to whom did Jesus point and say, here are my mother and my brothers? To whom did Jesus point and say, here are my mother and my brothers? To whom did he point and say that? Who was he pointing at when he said, here are my mother and my brothers? If you think you know, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can email David at hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, we have a Hebrew word for you.
Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, venisrecha.
Kefilte fish. Oh, sorry. Okay. Okay. Chapter 13, verse 18. So the king and the queen mother say to the king and the queen mother, humble yourselves, sit down, for your rule shall collapse in the crown of your glory. Humble yourselves. Humble is shafail, shafail. You shall shafail. Fail yourself, humble yourself, to make low, to depress, to sink, to lower, to debase, to set in lower place, to lay low, to descend, to humble. Shafail, shafail. Do not shafail to do this kind of thing. That's what you want to think of. Humble, humble yourself. And that's some people say, well, you know, you should humble yourself or God will humble you. There's two points of view on that. One, you should humble yourself because the scripture says so, so that's obedience. And then two, to say, well, if you don't humble yourself, God will humble you. I'd rather have God do a work in me than me do a work in me, because at least when God does it, it works. So it just depends on where you're at. I've actually had somebody write me a letter saying, never say, Lord, humble me. It's like, okay. People get kind of weird. They get squirrely and stuff like that. I can't do anything about that. Okay, who was Jesus talking to when he said, he pointed and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Who was that? Figure that out before we go. Have we covered everything? I think we've covered everything that I can think of. I already gave everybody the lotto numbers. Plus, I gave everybody the keys to... Okay. Just making sure. All right, last of this portion in Ezra here in chapter 8, because this next section after that, he does a listing of different things. We're not spending a lot of time on the lists. He says this, after all, we had told the king, our God protects all those who worship him, but his fierce anger rages against those who abandon him. Okay, get that? God protects those who worship him. His fierce anger rages against those who abandon him. So we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us, and he heard our prayers. This is in reference to Ezra and the crew traveling. So I want to bring up something that you might find amazing to hear me say, but I really agree with and think it's really important, and that is the principle of traveling mercies. We've used this, I think it's more 20th century, probably not, probably 19th century too, 20th and 21st century. Traveling mercies is asking God to give favor while somebody is traveling en route somewhere. It is biblical. I mean, it's right here in Ezra. Just look at Ezra. I'm just telling you, chapter 8, verse 22. Actually, it's verse 23. So we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us, and he heard our prayer, all in reference to a traveling process. Every day, I ask God for that, for traveling mercies for me back and forward, because it's still an hour of traffic every day. I never know. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is traveling mercies, isn't that's important. and you can ask God and should ask God to help you. And when you're traveling from place to place, you should ask God to be with you, and you should ask him. And the reason is because the Lord is supposed to be with us in our coming in and our going out and our getting up and our getting down. And when we're abroad and when we're within the home or wherever we're at, the Lord our God is with us. And the idea that you would travel somewhere and ask God to participate with you is important to the Christian faith, because that means wherever you go, you're taking the Lord with you. So for those of you, oh, this is just going to sting, who are going to go visit Las Vegas, just going to sting, you still ask the Lord to go with you. It's not like God's going to go, yeah, you know, I was going to go in there, but then there was the Flamingo Hotel, so I decided not to. That's not how that works. Okay? So the idea behind this is wherever you go, whatever you're doing, ask God to travel with you and be a part of that with you. I will share a story because I know you guys, you do like stories. I know that's true. And when we moved from California, Texas, we went on it was like a 3.5-day drive. It didn't have to be. We just made it that way because we had Levi with us and we were taking our time. That was before we had Bert and so on. And we stopped, and I've mentioned this before, we stopped off at a hotel and we went out for the evening for dining and ran into this lady. And this lady had cancer and was dying and was not a Christian, and the Lord was with us, and we were able to share with her and minister to her, and she got back to us about a month after we arrived in Texas, and she said, I've given my life to the Lord, I've become a Christian, and the Lord has touched my life, and her cancer was in remission. Yeah. Was that because we're spiritual? Nope. Okay? That's because God had a plan for the traveling process. That's why. All right, now we do have somebody answering the trivia, and we will grab that in a split second. But here's what I want you to catch. That doesn't mean Noel and I are spiritual. That doesn't mean any of that. Okay, and stop thinking that way, because that's just absurd. It just means that we wanted God to be with us, and that was a wonderful demonstration, not just for her, but for us, that the move and the direction to Texas was in the plan. It helped us. It helped her, but it helped us. And it's just a cool thing. And no, it doesn't happen every single time. In fact, I think that's one of the only times that's ever happened. But stuff like that happens, especially if we're more conscious of God than not conscious of God, right? Wherever you go, the Lord goes with you. The gospel of peace are the shoes. Well, where do your shoes go? Wherever you go. That's the whole point. All right, do we have somebody answering the trivia? Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Paul. David, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Paul. How are you doing?
I am very blessed.
Amen. I like to hear that.
Amen.
That's good.
Yes.
All right. Now, Jesus was pointing out, and he's like, here are my mother and my brothers. Who was he saying that about? Who was he talking about?
He's apostles.
That is correct. Let's go. Apostles or disciples at that point. But yes, yes, because Jesus was teaching.
I think they was trying to get him out of the crowd or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. You've got that. And what's important about that is look how Jesus, he's not diminishing the mom and the brothers or anything. He's elevating. See, people think, oh, well, he didn't care about his family. Well, that's not true, because when Jesus was getting ready to be crucified, he had John take over as the son. But he elevates the spiritual and says, look, that spiritual's up here too. This is my family. And it's like, isn't that great?
No.
I love it.
Well, that's sweet.
Excellent job, my brother. Excellent, excellent. Uh-huh. I appreciate it so much.
You bet. Y'all have a blessed day.
All right, thank you.
You too, brother. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Okay. All right. So he was bringing that up because they were trying to, you know, pull him out. They're your brother, and your brothers are outside. They were trying to extract him. So Paul is right about that. And he's like, who's my mother? Who's my brother? Look around, man. This is it right here. This is my family. That was exactly right. Paul did an excellent job. I probably should have let him go on that, but we're almost out of time. I'm just telling you. We only got 2.5 minutes left. That's the wonders of live radio. So last thing I want to say about this is wherever you go, the Lord is with you, right? Yeah. Well, make sure that you make that petition, that you make that prayer. It's an example in Scripture and something you should be aware of. You should be aware that it's important for you to petition the Lord wherever you're going to go. And you think, well, does that mean if I go from my living room to my dining room, I need to ask that? Really? Is that the question you have? No. What it means is wherever you go, be sensitive enough to say, Lord, be with me in this process. Walk with me. Guide me. Keep me safe. Direct me. Let me be sensitive to you. If you want to do something, let me be a part of it. I'm here. That's how we should do that. Okay? Don't make it legalistic. Okay. In fact, if we can move Christianity from a legalism and rules orientation into the adventure that it is supposed to be, we would love it because we would understand it so much more as this cool story that God has written and is revealing to us page by page. It's like, yeah. It's like, you tell me God knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Yes. Here's my theological answer. Yep. It's really an astute theological answer. Yep. I like it. All right. Think of those things. Keep these things in mind. Let's pray real quickly as we close it out. We'll just pray for everybody real quickly. Father, we come before you. We come to you in the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and we ask for help from the Holy Spirit to pray this prayer. We ask that everything good and profitable and beneficial that we've heard today would be a part of us, and we would make it a part of us, and we'd use it to draw closer to you. And anything that doesn't have any value, just let it drop off. We understand. But we present ourselves to you, not just where we are now, but for wherever we go. We humble ourselves and ask for your grace and your mercy in all of it to be faithful and diligent as your kids. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, ladies and germs, boys and girls, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.